Welcome to everyone here this morning. Glad we have another opportunity to be together. I hope and pray the study is beneficial to us all today. And I hope the things that I have to say this morning are in keeping with God's Word. The idea of man negotiating with God on how his service should be is nothing new. That has been something that, whether or not man realizes that's what they're doing, that is actually what they do over time. God calls, God says to do this, and then they start trying to figure out how they can do some of it, a little bit of it, maybe do it a bit different way or something else, come up with a better way, which is not ever going to happen. But man has, seems like since the dawn of time, or at least after the fall in the garden, has tried to seek God according to his own terms. And you just can't do that. You know, we cannot do that. We have to follow after God according to his terms. We have to have submission to him according to his ways. He has called men to his service, and he has given a plan for them to do that. And yet, it seems like men seem to want to negotiate and try to get around that. I direct your attention this morning to a passage in Luke chapter 9. Here in a minute. So this first verse here has a phrase that I've highlighted. And it comes in a section, and it's talking about, I believe there in Philippians chapter 3, false preachers and things like that. Look at what he says here. He says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." That phrase, "whose God is their belly," has always stuck out to me. It makes me think of nothing more than someone who, to be honest with you, lives however their life, however they want to do it. They're not going to be told how to live. They're not going to listen to someone else tell them what to do. They don't like submitting to authority, and they sure don't want to read this book and follow after it. Their God is their belly. Their God is what pleases them. Now, Jesus had an interaction in Luke chapter 9. And I want to read this, and I want you to notice some things here. It says, "It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest." This man initiated the conversation, okay? Remember that. He said, "Lord, I will follow thee wherever thou goest." And Jesus said unto him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And he said unto another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my dead, bury my father." Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." This man initiates a conversation with Jesus, and he says, "I'll follow you wherever you know you go." He tells that man, I don't have a place to call home. I don't have a place to lay my head at night." He looks into another and he says, "Follow me. Suffer me first." Another one he looks at, "Follow me. Let me first." And ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you what, we do that all the time. God calls us and we say, "Can't fit that in right now. Got stuff going on. Let me first do this. Let me first do this." We cannot seek or please self first and still expect to be considered God's children. What he calls us to do is submit ourselves and sacrifice ourselves for him. Luke 9 and verse number 23, it says, "He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Let him deny himself. He's not saying deny yourself of the necessities of life to give up food, water, all that. That's not what he's saying. What he is saying is you need to deny yourself of your own selfish desires, those things that please the self, please the flesh, please the carnal mind. He's saying deny those things that pull on you. They appeal to us. We have desires that we get caught up wanting to do and be involved with and everything like that. Not my day, I guess. I don't know. Now I'll knock that over here in a minute. But sin wouldn't work if it didn't appeal to you. We've made that statement many times. If sin didn't appeal to me, it wouldn't have been successful in my life. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a daily exercise. Luke 14:26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What he's talking about here is you've got to love me more than everybody else. That's what he means. You cannot love your father, your mother, your wife, your children, your brothers and sisters more than you love me. You have to love me most. I have to be first. I have to be priority in your life. We think that we live in the most self-centered and me-first societies that's ever been. That's not true. Humans have been this way since the fall in the garden. They have fought this pride. It's been at the center of sin from the beginning. And even Solomon pointed out that there's nothing new under the sun, Ecclesiastes 1:9-10. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And the thing which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. I understand he didn't have cell phones and computers and technology during that day. It's not what he's talking about. There's a passage in the Bible that talks about men and their sin and how much effort they put into inventing different ways of sin. But when you get right down to it, sin hasn't changed. It is still the will of self being submitted to over what God's will is for my life. That's what it all boils down to. Okay, so what are some signs that we have this problem? What are some things that we can monitor? And I give these things for you for this purpose. Just keep in mind as you go through life, look at some areas to where maybe I'm falling into the trap of putting myself above God and telling Him, suffer me first. Attendance. Acts 20:7 says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. We have the phrase, when he wrote the letter, the first letter to the church at Corinth, Paul used this phrase, when you come together. It was assumed that they would come together. He knew where to be at certain times because that was the pattern of saints. They would be gathered together during those times on that day. Any logical person should be able to read the New Testament and even the Old Testament and see that God expects His children to assemble together for worship and for fellowship. And yet, we see people all the time neglecting the assembly, and it even happened in the first century church. It started happening fairly quick after the ascension of Jesus Christ, but it happens today too. Hebrews 10:24. People say, oh, this is the verse you beat everybody over the head with to get them to come to church. You're missing the point if that's what you think this verse is about. It's not about getting in the door and getting the check mark. I was here. What if we're here in body, but we're not here in spirit? We're not here in mind. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I need to consider you as brothers and sisters with the purpose of provoking you, urging you to engage in good works, to provoke you unto love. And then he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, that's why I do it. That's why you do it. That's why we're here. I've said before, I find myself, as the years go on, I just keep repeating certain things. But the bottom line is, you're going to do what you want to do anyway. Do you know why you're here? You want to be here? I mean, nobody forced you by violence or gunpoint or anything like that to be here this morning. You chose to be here. But sometimes we let other things get in the way of that, and we forget that it's my duty. It's a responsibility. And even greater than that, it's an honor to come here and be in fellowship with the saints. Last week at our all-day meeting, it was pointed out that God's children were created for fellowship. That's part of the purpose of our creation and why we do what we do. But yet, suffer me first, rather than go spend time there, because there's a lot of these recreational outings I really enjoy. I'd rather go do that. Suffer me first to go to these family gatherings, because you know they're important. I believe we read in Luke 14:26 about those family relationships and how God's supposed to be first over those. But yet, suffer me first to go do all this other extra work because I need some extra money. Suffer me first to go do all these school-related activities because my education is important. Suffer me first because I need some me time. I'm tired. It's been a long week. I need a little me time. I don't see in the Bible where I was instructed to have me time. I read a book that says sacrifice of yourself and live for God. Live for Jesus. Consider your brethren. Provoke them unto love and to good works. Your brethren need you here. I need you here. Talking back there, Casey, a minute ago, we always stand back till kind of church gets going. We look around, you know, and you start going, I wonder, you know, where so-and-so is. I hope they're okay. I wonder if something's going on, you know. We need to consider one another and remember each other in love. And when we come, be the person that exhorts and uplifts. Be the one that picks up everybody else. Be the one that supports your brothers and sisters and loves them. Some people really light up a room when they walk in. Others really light it up as soon as they leave. Don't be that one. Be the one that lights up the room when you walk in, and consider your brothers and sisters and lift them up. Exhort them, because that is putting the way of Christ above what the flesh wants. What about our contribution? And now someone's saying, he's really meddling now. You want to get somebody riled up? Talk about money. Let me just start by saying this. God don't need your money. Okay? He doesn't. The congregation here, we're fine. We're not, you know, having to go out and have some, you know, spaghetti supper to raise funds or anything like that. We're fine. But you need to give. And you need to understand why you need to give. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2 says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Paul is writing here, and he says, this is something that is common to all the congregations. The body of Christ has been directed to lay by in store on the first day of the week. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 8. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Christians are instructed to give. We are instructed to give out of our prosperity, and we've been blessed very greatly. It goes to meet certain needs, as Jeff laid out just a little bit ago. As I said, God don't need your money, but He does instruct you to give and share of your bounty, because there are times when others do. There are times when bad things happen, and we need to be able to assist in that. You know, an added blessing that we get by giving is that it is a constant guard against covetousness and greed. When I focus on giving, it keeps me from focusing on just hoarding. Giving is a real blessing. I read a quote on this that said, "The benefit of almsgiving is lost to the giver when he does it with a grumbling heart." You ever done something for somebody else and grumbled all the way through it? "I guess I got to go do this for them." If y'all haven't done that, I have. It's embarrassing to feel that way sometimes when you recognize it and go, I'm glad Jesus didn't grumble about going to the cross for me. I'm glad He did it with joy. I'm glad He had the desire to serve me in a way that I couldn't serve myself. And I have to mimic Him. I have to follow in His steps. "But yet, suffer me first, Lord. I know You've called me to do this because I want to spend money on some other things that really are pleasing to me. Suffer me first, because everybody I live around has bigger, brighter, newer, fancier stuff, and I got to keep up. Suffer me first, Lord, because I forgot to budget in there about contribution to the Lord's church. I know it comes every Sunday, and I know You told me about it. But suffer me first, because I've got some other things that I just need to take care of. And honestly, I didn't even think about it till we got here. Suffer me first, Lord, because I am burdened with these bills and these payments and these debts that I have taken on for things that are not necessities. But yet they sure make me happy, at least for a while. So I bring this up just for you to have as a gauge. As I said, we do just fine here. And I will preface this also, or not preface, I'm about done with that point, but I will say this about the congregation here. We have a very giving congregation. We have one that is very generous. But we do always need to keep that in mind and keep it in the forefront of our mind and not allow those things to get in the way of our service to God. What about in basic everyday service to one another, fulfilling a need that another one might not be able to do for themselves, something that they need? Our service to one another. Romans 12, verse 5 through 8 says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." We are all members of one body, different members with different talents. And the talents that I have been blessed with, I can use to benefit and serve others. The talents that you have been blessed with are probably different than mine. And they could be used to bless me and other people. That's how that goes. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 through 11. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Now see, it talks about here being good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The grace of God extended to you through Jesus Christ. Be a good steward of that. How do I do that? Well, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Serve in the capacity that you can and do it with joy. Just as giving of your financial means, you lose the benefit when you do that grumbling, you also lose the benefit and blessing of serving others and having that interaction and that relationship with them if you do that grumbling as well. But God's called me to do that. Many times my response is, well, suffer me first. Let me first do this. I can't even serve others in the congregation because I don't know their name. I don't know who they are. We gather here often. They sit and I see them on the other side of the room. Couldn't tell you their name. That's not very cool. Suffer me first because I haven't put time into figuring out what my ability is, or I haven't even really thought about trying to develop an ability to bless and serve my brothers and sisters with. Suffer me first. I can't be there on time. Because what's odd is I'm not late to work, but every Sunday morning I have to sleep in and get caught up on rest, and I have these other things, and I don't have time to get there. And then during the week I got other stuff, so I don't have time to visit. And then sometimes, Lord, just understand that when I come to church, I'm coming to get something. I'm not coming to give. You ever notice how somebody over time might mention things like, well, I go to church, I just don't get much out of it. I've heard that before. People have said, I just don't get anything out of it. As Brother Truman Till said many years ago, did you bring anything, put it in? You know, what's funny is that it's what we might consider kind of a backwards relationship when it comes to getting something out of the lessons, the service, or whatever. If you come with an empty bucket, only seeking to see what you can fill it with, you're not going to get anything. But if you come with a full bucket, and you come and pour it out, and you dump it out on the brothers and sisters, and you dump it out in the service by your heart to Jesus Christ, offering up worship and praise to Him, then you go with an even fuller bucket. But it's not important to me. Got other stuff going on, and I'll be there maybe, but I'm not going to serve other people, not going to serve them during the week. I know they need a little help. Suffer me first, Lord, to get my stuff done. What about our family relationships? I'm going to put this passage up here, and it's about as concise as you can get when it comes to your family relationships. Colossians 3, verse 18 through 21. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And I've listed a few passages that go along with this group here talking about different aspects of this. Ephesians 5, 21 through 29, then Ephesians 5, 33, and then Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. That's pretty easy to understand. You do not have to be a genius to figure out what God is calling you to do in your family relationships. And I want to tell you something. Families suffer when the members of it have a me-first attitude. When they have pride, and they are only wanting to please themselves first before they please another one, the family suffers. God has called husbands and wives to live together in love and respect, and according to the plan that He laid out. But self comes along, and the family suffers when husbands and wives are selfish in their dealings with each other. Because of pride and because of self first, parents will fight in front of their kids. They'll speak evil of each other in earshot of their children. They will put down their brothers and sisters that they just left church with and had attendance to and attendance with and all that. They'll put them down. And then years later, they wail and moan because their kids grew up to be just like them. Had a man who years ago was involved in church work. And he was lamenting one day. And he said, Barry, he said, I've sat at tables. And he said, I've heard pain. And I've heard just angst poured out over the child that had left, had gone astray. He said, I've sat here and I've listened to this, and he said, and it hurts. He said, it hurts beyond measure. And that's the thing about brothers and sisters in Christ. When you hurt, man, we hurt with you. I wish I could take that pain, and there's times where I wish you could take mine. It doesn't work that way. Now, you want to sit here and say that I'm meddling? I got news for you. I'm dealing with this. Okay? I got one ain't where he needs to be. So don't think I'm not hurting. But you know, he's got his own responsibilities and he's going to answer for himself. But one day I'm going to stand and I'm going to answer for what I did. And when I stand and look in the mirror, some days I really hurt. Because I go back and I think of things that I might have done different. Maybe I could have done better. There's always those things. And I bring this up as something for you to keep in mind. Parents, behave in love to each other. And make sure your children see that you love one another. Children, pay attention. I'm going to talk straight to you now. If you're young, I want you to listen. God says, honor and obey your parents. That's what the Bible says. And you need to do that. You need to do that to please God. And I want to tell you what's going to happen. Prophet here for a minute. As you grow up, what's going to happen is there's going to be a rebellious streak come up. There's going to be those things come up to where you go, I know better. They don't understand what I'm dealing with. I know better. I'm going to do this my way. Do you know how we know that, young people? Do you know how we as adults understand that? And that's because we went through the same thing. Man, I had a rebellious streak. Ooh. There was a period where it was just like, ooh. They might be better out taking him out back and just, you know, tying him up for about 5 years. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's in there. But I want you to understand it's there, so now you know it is, so be watchful for it. Pay attention. Understand that there's a reason sometimes when mom and dad tells you to do something that you initially go, I don't want to do that. Okay, that's self. That's you wanting to please yourself. But you're to have submission according to God and His Word to honor and obey your parents. And I want to tell you something, as family members, children, parents, mom, dad, grandparents, aunts, uncles, whatever, when we have a suffer me first attitude, the home becomes a playground for Satan. He likes that. Because he can start playing then. He can start having some influence. Now, let me tell you something. How do we solve it? You know how to solve it, and I know how to solve it, and that is to have the mind of Christ. To constantly develop the mind of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 8, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. You could sum it up right there. But let's go on. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Patterning your life after Jesus is how you solve this problem. Becoming more and more like Him every day. Having the mind of Christ. The example that Christ gave was others first. Look at what He says in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. If anybody had the right to come and demand to be ministered to, it was Him. He was the Son of God, is the Son of God, and He came in the flesh. He had the right to demand to be ministered to, but what did He do? He ministered to others. He thought of you and me first. He thought of others. He thought of the will of God, what He was called to do. He had the mind of a servant. Christ came to serve others first, and He desires that we have the same mindset. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 4. We look at the example that some others in the church give. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That's what you got to do to be successful in the kingdom. First, give yourselves to the Lord. And when you do that and live with that mindset, you're not going to have near as much problem with self first, are you? You're not going to have as much problem with selfishness. But the problem is, far too many people don't fully give themselves over to Jesus. They're not fully committed. Philippians 4, verse 14, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. They gave, they wanted their efforts and their service to be for the spreading of the gospel, for the benefit of the church that Jesus died to establish. They lived in the example of Jesus and patterned their mindset after Him. And so we get to the title of the lesson this morning. I did it my way. Y'all have heard the song. How many people have recorded this over throughout years? I won't name them. That's not the point. But you've heard them. I did it my way. Oh, I struggled through that, blah, 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 blah. I did it my way. They don't sing, I did it my way in heaven. That's not the song they sing up there. You see, up there, they're going to be gathered around the throne paying homage to the Lamb. Oh, and it's going to be loud. I can't imagine the sound, how voluminous that is going to be. It's going to just come right through you. But they don't sing, I did it my way in heaven. I want to tell you something. Singing to me is associated with joy and happiness, and even in times of sorrow, it's a way to lift up, I believe. I'm not sure they sing in hell, but if they did, that might be the song. I did it my way, and look where I ended up. Folks, I'm going to tell you what, if you do it your way, you're on the wrong path. And we cannot expect to receive the gift of eternal life by answering the call of Jesus by saying, let me first go do some things I want to do. If your answer to God has been, suffer me first, I urge you to change that today. All of us. Make your calling and election sure by answering, thy will be done. Matthew 26 and verse 39, Jesus in the garden says he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You understand that him going through the pain and anguish of what he was about to go through, it wasn't appealing to him in that human form that he had. He says, if it be possible. So there he was saying, sure would like to possibly do this a different way. You know, being a Christian's hard sometimes. And we're called to act in certain ways. You know, it's hard to go on and smile and do the right things when you feel like others are just beating you down, mistreating you. But this is where we have to follow after Jesus. And we have to say, this is tough. It might not even be the way I would have invented. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Church stands ready to assist you this morning. If you have not submitted yourself, committed your soul to Jesus, and obeyed the gospel, I would urge you to do that this morning. Or maybe you are walking with Christ and find yourself struggling and needing some help from your brothers and sisters. We've talked about that. That's what we're here for this morning. Let us pray with you and pray for you. If we can help one of either class, come while we stand and while we sing.